is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
News for the Soul is now in its 25th year of broadcasting. Tune in live or visit the archives at newsforthesoul.com. That's newsforthesoul.com.
It's time for Enlightenment in the City with El Hosho Tara on the News for the Soul Network. El is a spiritual coach and intuitive reader with a unique flair. Strong yet soft, compassionate with a heart, she lives the consciousness of being feminine with strength. El tells it like it is. Welcome El Hosho Tara back to News for the Soul.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to this hour of News for the Soul. You can come to our show and find us at newsforthesoul.com. You can also call in. Our lines are open today. That's area code 1-646-595-4274. Again, that's 1-646-595-4274. So I assume we already have a caller. So if you want to just hold on for a minute, area code 562. That's area code 562. I'll get to you in just a moment. So we're going to talk a little bit about the benefits of being positive again. Oh, we love that stuff. We're going to do it. So why are we going to do the positive stuff? Because as I've told you repeatedly, if you've listened to the show for a long time, it's actually the thing that's actually going to get you the results that you need. Now, sometimes people get that confused with falseness or having to be fake in order to get a positive result, and that's not really what it is. So why do people use falseness or, pretend or lie their butts off about where they're at or all of the above? So sometimes, the first self-development program that I ever went to, they talked about actually faking it till you make it. Now, I have a big problem with that. Stay away from fake it till you make it. Trust me, stay away from fake it till you make it, because it fucks up your energy, and for the same amount of practice, you can actually just practice it. And then once you practice it, you learn how to actually do it. It's like you can learn how to ride a bike, or you can lie about riding a bike. And eventually, well, something comes up at some point in time where it says, well, you actually know how to ride a bike, or you were lying all along. And if you're with somebody who's already got that part in progress and has enough stuff going in, if you're lying about it, it actually shows up quite a bit. This is why I think the easiest way to explain being able to see it is, we're going to pick on the guys for a minute. Sorry, guys. But you'll see some guys who, you know, think that being confident means going like, and they're like, they got the moves going, the ladies are going to respond to that. And you could just feel sort of like the slime, sort of like dripping off or running off. And why do those things happen? When people have a negative idea of something and then they say that they're doing it, or using something in such a negative in order to accomplish something because they have a mistaken idea of what it's supposed to be like, people will use those negative ways of doing a perfectly healthy and actually beneficial self-development idea. So really show confidence? No. In fact, it actually shows a lack of confidence. It shows somebody doesn't know what they're doing. And those are the exact opposite traits of what happens when somebody genuinely has confidence. If you practice it, in the very least, we start to get in some moments, not for everybody, for all the time, unfortunately, but in some moments, we actually have the chance to sort of like stay out of the silly stuff. So we actually get to stay out of that stuff more so because we're actually just trying to genuinely figure out how to do it. And you'll notice that when you're trying to actually practice something, if you're going into it with a genuine idea of practice, you can feel that the silliness kind of goes down energetically. Now, for some people, this will go down more than for others. For some people, they need a little bit more help, and so the silliness will kind of stay. But when we practice it, you'll notice that, especially if you're more sensitive to slimy energy, you will notice that there's a way that if you actually do the confidence, that it doesn't hit the same triggers for what it looks like to be fake. So whenever you try, if you want to try this out for yourself, all you have to do is look at, you know, trying to do something in a really silly sort of like slimy way and or a fake way. And when you do that, you'll see that your energy kind of can go up a lot more. So you'll hear in my voice, you'll hear the high-pitched rawr, you know. And when I'm talking right now, even though I have a soft, feminine voice, my voice is not going high-pitched the same way that it goes when I'm doing the fake version of confidence, which is rawr. You can hear the tones of my voice just go up. And this sort of like shiny doesn't go up as in like high vibration. It just kind of goes up in sort of like this, I don't quite know how to explain it, but the sort of like energetic pitch that's slimy and fake kind of has a bit of a strange energetic pitch to it. It's the darndest thing. So when people lie, their voices go up. When people are nervous, their voices can go up and they can get high pitched. So it tends to show that we're a little bit more off balance. Whereas if you're naturally just practicing something, even if you have a softer voice like mine, you will notice that your tones actually start to go lower. And it does not mean, I really want to be clear, that a woman who naturally has a high voice, because I've definitely got that too, it does not mean that a woman who naturally has a high voice is lying. I really want to be clear. That's very, very different than somebody who's lying or being slimy, having the high pitch on that. So I really want to be clear, there is a distinction on that. And usually when it's something false, you're more going to hear the falses, or you're going to have distrust built up more, which is separate from a man, for example, having a natural distrust of women. So there's this, you know, it's kind of hard to explain, and I'm not really going to be able to do that here on the show because it would take a long time. But you basically have this difference in vibration and in pitch, et cetera, when you're doing things from a more false perspective. And people pick up on those sorts of things. That's why female speakers are often told to lower their voices. And this is not lowering your voice to sound fake, because what happens is, I think, I know I've seen a couple, not very many, thankfully, but I've seen a couple female speakers who lower their voice, but they sound very, very angry. They sound very hostile because they're sort of like overdoing the lower tones, but they're lowering the tones because they think, because you get told, or you used to at least, that lowering your tones actually makes you more trustable, makes you more trustworthy. And you kind of got to be careful with that, because, you know, some people are going to take that and try to use it as, women aren't trustworthy, ha ha, you know, screw women. And no, that's not what it's about at all. What it is, though, is simply that there are, even within women's voices, you've got a higher pitch and a lower pitch, even within the same female. So you will have times when the voice is, like, softer and more up. You're talking to a baby. Hi, pumpkin. You know, and it's like, you're trying to be very gentle and you're talking very soft. And, you know, you've got this warmth, and you could tell, and you can hear my voice, that my voice, well, it's always easier to hear in my own head, of course, but my voice tones have gone up and they've gone softer because I've been talking about talking to a baby. So that will take things up naturally, and the warmth and affection in my heart is also raising my voice. And it's not that you're cold by having a lower voice tone. You're not. It's just simply that we're just sort of like noticing the differences that, you know, higher can be more warm and loving. A lower tone can be more trustworthy. So you actually have both ranges within yourself. Everybody does, for what is going to be more natural for you. And so a female's voice and a male's voice are not going to have the same highs and lows, for example. But within each person's voice, you can still pick up on certain things. So we women sometimes think that sliminess, for example, is just a masculine trait. And actually there are very slimy women, and you can actually pick up on that quite easily. Now, sometimes women can have a hard time with that because, you know, they've never seen it, you know, they've never picked up on it. why would you not pick up on that as a woman? Because that may be something you just instinctively know you do not want to be friends with that person. Or maybe that you've had a conversation with that person and you just went, nope, talk to the hand, you're done. You know you're not going to want to have a further conversation with somebody, and you may not pick up on that. Whereas, you know, a guy may get it a lot more, just like guys cannot pick up sometimes when other guys are being predatory or slimy in their energy. Why? Because they're not on the receiving end of it. So if you are cutting it short because you don't want to be friends with a woman, that is going to be very different than a woman who has, for example, slimy characteristics. If she's overhanging on to a guy and causing him trouble, because she decides she wants a relationship, she's really not being in reality. For women, We've all met a guy like this, right? The guy's not in reality. You tell him no, he's still going for it. He's getting slimier and slimier and slimier. And where women have their own versions of that, it actually does still exist. It's just that men are going to be more likely to get faced with that on dating sites where, you know, a woman comes and shoves all her stuff onto a guy because she wants a relationship, even before they've had a conversation. As a friend, you may not be on the receiving end of that so much. So there's, or unless you're, you know, you're in a relationship with somebody who's got those characteristics, such as, you know, a family member, for example. So when we're doing things for real, it's really important that we understand that doing the practice of it will actually help to naturally straighten your tones out. And it will also naturally help you to come across as more high vibration, because it is a high vibration. We understand sliminess is a low vibration, and it can easily come across that way, even if you don't catch it in the first moment. And we've all had moments where we've met somebody and we didn't catch the slime right off the bat, and we talked to them a little bit and we went, nope. And we've also all talked to somebody where they've been slimy right off the bat and we knew, nope, going to stay away from that person. So the more that we do things for real, for actual practice, the more that it helps to keep the energy going towards what we want, which is more authenticity, more honesty. It feels better. It's easier to have self-esteem, but it also makes an improvement on the energy. So it actually comes across as better to people because, number one, you're taking away the lying aspect sort of like right off the bat. So when you're practicing, there's a little bit of a hitch there where, yes, you can still say you're okay even if you're not. And I know for some people it's going to sound like it's lying, but if you're going and talking to somebody and you were just fine until they asked how you were, and then all of a sudden all your stuff comes up, you actually were fine in the moment until you got asked, which means you actually probably are fine, even if you can't quite identify it yet because your old stuff has come up. And that can feel a little bit like a gray area to some people. And it's not a gray area. I really want to be clear about that. It's far from a gray area. It's just your stuff is coming up. Once you got more comfortable with being okay around other people, and some people have to work on that still, once that comes, you would actually be able to say, I am okay, like, or I'm doing great, because you actually are. And sometimes you have to look at your previous mood, like from like 5 seconds ago, not previous, for 10 hours ago, something bad happened and you're saying you're okay. But for 5 seconds ago, were you okay then? Yes, absolutely. You're still okay now. Your stuff may be coming up, but you're still okay. It's just you're okay with your stuff coming up. And so even that can be, well, that can be a little bit challenging for some people to deal with. It will still reduce the amount of negative or off energy that one would be experiencing by faking it and you know, lying and saying like, yes, yes, you know, I'm the Queen of England, when obviously I'm not the Queen of England. So those sorts of things, you know, are things to look out for. And the reasons why we need to focus on doing things actually in a positive, serving, healthy way that are actually just simply practice. And I know this can sound a little bit confusing. You know, it's a little bit hard to sit there and sort of shoot out there and like in 13 minutes I've been talking on the subject. But it is something that makes a huge difference. So, you know, one thing to consider. So when we're doing the positive, the reason that we do that is because we're keeping focus and helping make that shift change, because it is true and it is real. It's just sometimes people are not always in contact with it. So, and that's the darndest thing. So when people think, oh, the negative's a reality, the negative's not actually the reality. All the time. and not as much as people may think. In some ways it is. We've all heard people who say, you know, like, there's nothing out there that can touch you. That's actually not true. So people I've talked to that I trust more, the strongest teachers that I've had, they've never, ever, ever said that. The most talented people that I've met have never, ever said that, number one. Number two, I have heard people that I do like and I do trust say that nothing's ever hurt you, but I found that a lot of the people that say that nothing can hurt you have also had very snake-like serpentine energy and not in a positive way. So I've seen people get infected with that. But when we're talking about a lot of the positives in terms of you being okay, there is a natural resilience that you have as a human being, provided you're not interrupting it or have not interrupted it in the past, or it has not been interrupted by something or someone else in the past as well. So that natural resiliency that you have to bounce back, you're actually going to be okay once things bounce back, and you're actually okay in certain moments. It's just not everybody's always in touch with that. And when we're looking at focusing on the positive, it's not about forcing you into a good mood when we're out of something that would be normal, healthy, and obviously reasonable for you to be going through. Say somebody's, you know, pet just died. If you love the pet, if you haven't had not had closure on the death, for example, the pet has not been sick for a long time, but, you know, all of a sudden, just one day, boom, the pet's gone, and there was no warning signs, are you going to be upset about that or in shock or whatever? Yes, absolutely. That would make sense. Is everybody going to be in shock? Absolutely. No, not everybody. It really depends on what you're going through. But when we're doing somebody who is actually upset about it because it was, you know, they don't, because they're not, you know, they haven't had the resolution yet, they don't understand it, they don't see the sign for it, whatever reason it is for when people actually are okay, and it is okay to be okay too, even when a pet, for some people they don't like the sound of that, and that's sort of putting pressure onto people that they're not caring because they're able to see something further that somebody else may not understand. But when we're looking at somebody who's actually in those spaces, when they're looking to move forward, it's about actually getting them in touch with the places that they are okay, because that's actually going to be there more often than not. Sometimes when people have been through a lot of trauma or still currently feeling a lot of trauma, they may not think that's so, but that's actually not necessarily true. But thinking that it is one of the reasons why people can feel more like a traumatic event happened and it takes over their whole day or even the next 3 days over something that if they were okay with being okay and had the capability to be okay, when something happens that previously used to last be a 3 days worth of upset, they would actually calm down to a day's worth of upset or maybe only even a couple of hours and then even maybe not even upset at all. So being positive in a healthy, real way, but helping people get in touch with that actually helps people to be more okay. It's the darndest thing. So when we're doing positive work in self-development, it's because it's actually going to get you somewhere. It's actually going to be beneficial for you. It actually is part of your growth process to get you to the place that you need to go that you currently may not be at now. So I really want to stress this when we talk about this, this is all real work. These are all real things that can actually happen, provided that we do them in an actual real way and allow a little wiggle room on that for the interpretations of how that might go. And it's a really beautiful thing, you know, and this is why we embrace the positive without, you know, sort of going into the fake stuff, because again, you know, we see that the positive actually gets us where we need to go. We see the detriment of the negative stuff. And when we do the positive stuff is actually what gets us the actual results. So we do have lines open. And again, you can send into the mailbag as well. That's newsforthesoul.com. And we have lines open. We have area code 562. 562, you're on the air with El Hoshiam Tara. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here now. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Yvonne from California.
Hi, and what can we do for you today?
Hi, yes. I'm really, like, frustrated where I'm living at, and I want to move to a new location. Do you see me moving soon? If so, which month?
Okay, one moment here. So you basically have the ability to just up and go anytime you like. They're being really, really clear about that. What I am being shown, though, is that you may want to try to do it within the next few months, because what happens is it seems like it might seem to you like you're not having a current capability to move, because it seems kind of like almost like a little light rubber shell on you, kind of like an elastic band, but it's a little bit more encompassing. And when you're having to stretch yourself to do that, it can kind of feel like there's resistance there, but there's actually not. After the 3-month period, though, it looks drastically different. So I'm getting like positive light filled energy right up until the 3-month mark. In fact, it actually gains traction more towards the 3-month mark for you being able to leave. After that, I'm seeing a lot of, it's kind of like seeing a before and after picture, but the after doesn't look so good. So there's a very, very strong defining mark. Normally, it's not like that for people. Normally, you know, there's like kinds of ups and downs, and there's little hills and dales, and it's beautiful. Sometimes they're going to be stronger than others, but for you, it is a very complete and definite divide. So it's almost like you're going to want to get out of there now if you want to be able to make the move.
Yeah, I can't because of financial reasons. That's why. That's what's going
okay.
on, too.
Right.
That's why I can't just leave.
Right. Okay. You are being called to definitely do that. They do want that for your well-being. That's absolutely, there's zero question of that. But it does seem like you're going to be needing a little bit of help in terms of figuring out where that is, because I can sort of start to scan you over the U.S. and, you know, about a quarter the way, about a third of the way in the country, it feels okay. But then there's some spots that don't work for you quite as much. Dan First, that's F-U-R-S-T, he's got a book on which he talks about astrocartography. I have not read his, but while he was alive, I actually did a session with him in person, and it was really brilliant in terms of being able to figure out what energies were going to be good for your personality type. And he had mentioned that he had a book. It would be worth checking out for you so that you can sort of get a feel. One of the things about doing it, though, is sometimes when we're not used to the vibration matching us, we can sometimes think that it's not going to be a good idea to go into. And my experience with Dan was I actually found out he was right on a lot of things in terms of the astral cartography. So I think that's a really great place to start, but it is something to keep an open mind about. And when you get a definite no, you visit there and you get a definite no, then that's a definite no for you.
Okay. Can I ask another question about love?
Sure. Go ahead.
What do you see for love for me? Do you see someone coming in for me to be with romantically?
Okay, let's see here. So I'm still here, just give me a minute.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm having to go down your timeline a bit here. So I see that you're trying. There's some things that need to be sorted out first. So what happens is if I look currently, it seems like it would be, if it's before you move, it would actually look like more, it could possibly be a bit more of a sabotage. Hold on here. So your chances of finding love after you move actually like double. So they actually go up quite a bit more, but I'm still seeing that there's some things that you're going to have to work out in order to be able to make that happen. I'm seeing that you have the ability to open your heart, which is great. I see that you have the ability to be warm, which is great. That's really, really needed in relationships, obviously. But what happens is I see that some of the people that you keep picking don't always have the best attitudes. Sometimes you're more invested in them than they are in you, and you're kind of ignoring their attitudes when they're getting into a relationship with you. And I'm seeing that with the person now. I see you sort of not being happy and sort of understanding it before the move. So there's one, but then the next two after that, I keep getting people with very bad attitudes that you sort of, because you have love in your heart, and I see this with a lot of people who are very warm. They're very loving. You know, they're going to try to make things work. They're very giving, and they sort of ignore all the warning signs that say this is not going to work for them. And if you've got somebody coming into a relationship with a bad attitude, that actually means they're less likely to stay. If somebody's dependent on you to always have to hold the relationship or fix it, that means as soon as you don't do something right because they don't understand their responsibility in it, they're also more likely to leave. They're also less likely to want to stay because when people have the attitude that they think other people can honestly fix their life for them, as soon as you don't do it, they're not going to have any interest because they're going to feel like you're doing your job, even though that's totally unfair to you. That would actually be a toxic attitude for you to be involved with. But if you're ignoring those signs where they're just kind of cranky and have a bad attitude, you're more likely to get yourself involved in those relationships. And unfortunately, when I get up to the two-year mark, I keep seeing those types of people come in, and then I keep seeing the relationships not working.
So there's nobody ever going to come in that's going to be good for me?
Ever, I wouldn't say ever, but I think you definitely need to work on, like, who you're, when you're trying, you need to put into your life as much as you need to put into your life, and you also need to take responsibility for your life, but you also need to have somebody else who's going to be doing the same thing if you want lasting love, because you're not going to find lasting love with somebody who is basically complaining about everything and then they leave because nothing's ever good enough and they don't associate their non-participation with why their life doesn't turn out. And as long as you're picking those people for the next 2 years, I see relationships. I just don't see them lasting very long.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Good luck with that.
Thanks, Ben.
Bye. So that's a tough one, you know, I think for everybody, you know, because there's, you know, sometimes people think that there's a balance between being loving or having a relationship, and there's not. There's actually, you need love, yes, you need the warmth, but you also need somebody who's going to be capable and willing to participate in relationship, and not everybody is. A lot of people have the idea, you know, like, okay, well, you know, I'll be in a relationship, I'm going to sit on my butt and you can fix me. No, doesn't work like that. And they actually show that in business books, they actually show do not hire people that do not understand that they need to do their own work, because do not hire people that you're always going to be chasing after, because number one, you're going to be paying them money to chase after them to get them to do their job. And yet people often think, well, okay, somebody, you wouldn't hire somebody as a job or it would be too frustrating. And then people think to go and take that on as relationship. That does not work for a relationship, ladies and gentlemen. I will tell you right now, the only thing that really works in relationship the best, and when I say works in relationship, because they'll get somebody to stay sometimes, I'm just saying it's a lot harder. And if they stay, they can be angry because they're not getting what they want because they don't understand that they have to participate in their own life to get what they want. Excuse me. So the more people understand that, the easier it is to have a relationship with them, the more value people tend to have in relationship, and the easier it tends to be in relationship to be in relationship with them. And any absence of any of those things, especially the more that it happens, the harder it gets to be in relationship with people. So we have, let's see, Francesca in Illinois. She's thinking about a new business venture, partnering with a man whose initials are RS. Do I see this as a good connection? So one moment, Francesca in Illinois. So, Francesca, I'm seeing you kind of have a little bit of hearts in your eyes. So if we were making you a cartoon girl, you'd have those, like, little hearts in your eyes. Like, hi, hi, hi. And unfortunately, what's going to happen is he's going to be backing off, backing off, backing off. It would actually be very, very hard for you to have a business venture, because he'd be too busy saying no, 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 no. And quite frankly, with that, I can't actually get any work done between the two of you. And so it doesn't mean that he's a bad person by any means at all. It just means that as long as you're in that, you're going to have, it's sort of like, I can't get you to pull in the reins on that. And as long as you can't pull in the reins on that, he's going to have to sort of like be more on the defensive and sort of like putting his foot down. And then I don't see any actual work being done. So I would suggest, you know, picking, you know, sometimes we as women, we want a romantic partner who's going to be someone that we can trust, we can rely on. Oh, wait, that's everybody. We all want somebody that we can trust and that we can rely on. And that makes sense, right? You want to know that somebody's going to have your back. You're going to want to know that somebody's going to be there. You want to know that they're capable of doing their work. But most people choose not to go into a relationship with their partners, and it would actually not be the best situation for him to go into a business venture with somebody who is looking at him with little, you know, buggy-eyed hearts in her eyes. It just wouldn't, it would make things too complicated. So as it stands, I don't see much happening. And so for being a good connection, no, if you wanted to, let's see here, hold on. And here's the thing, you know, if you took the business off the table and you're like, okay, hi, I just want to date you because you're capable of all this stuff, it actually would not be a good romantic relationship for you anyways. So it's kind of like you're just, oh, let's see here. Oh, hold on. Okay, and I'm not allowed to tell you anything more than that because I put things in motion. So, yeah, I can't tell you anything more than that, but basically, you know, while you're like, hi, it's not really going to work for you business-wise. So thanks for writing in. Wish I had better news, but good luck with that. Let's see, we have Louise in Maryland, and she says she's been having dreams of being saying they're her spiritual guides. This is real. One moment here, Louise in Maryland. Yeah, so I don't really do the spirit guides readings, Louise. I'd love to help you out. What I can tell you is I really would not trust those. I'm getting a lot of shady energy from it. And there are a lot of things that are making contact right now anyways, and a lot of them are negative. Just because I can talk to you does not mean that they are real. Would I say that they're beneficial? It doesn't really look to be so. It just looks sort of like a couple of things are hanging around and are saying that they're your spirit guides. But, and you know, sometimes those things can be a little bit confusing because sometimes they can actually give you information that is real or looks real. So that can be kind of confusing. It's not like they're always lying to you all the time. But whenever you get that sort of like bad mood, that bad energy coming out of it, and bad energy meaning you kind of feel like it's like some guy with a bad attitude, I'd be very suspicious about that. And I would suggest that if you want a spirit guide reading, talk to somebody who does spirit guides for sure. Absolutely. But also be very careful of anything that's sort of like just showing up and you're going, ew, no. Because if you're a higher vibration than it, you're not, it doesn't really make sense for you to be taking the information of that. It would make more sense to learn how to contact something that's going to be a higher vibration. Thank you so much. Elaine in New York. And she wants to know what to do to become more intuitive. One moment here. Elaine in New York. Okay, so Elaine, you're really connected. So it's kind of like, what do I need to do to become more intuitive? I don't think that's the problem, sweetie. I really don't. Oh. It's like somebody walking up to a water tower saying, that's mine. How do I get more water? And it's like, well, you've got the whole tower there. You know, I mean, more water is always good, but that's not even an exact way to say it because it's, oh, you're more connected than that. So, It's for you, it's about more actually using it. Because there's, I mean, it's really good to be connected, but you are here on this plane to do this plane. And what I'm seeing is that it's the actually using it in your daily life that helps you to round the energy out. So you're kind of going up, 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 and it's like, well, there's all this connection. So if we were to, you know, if we were to put you in a picture with lightning storm and, you know, thunder coming down and the whole nine yards, and we were to see you with your hands up saying, how do I touch all the lightning rods? We would actually have you touching, not every single last one of them, but we would have you touching enough of them where we could say, okay, she knows how to obviously touch a lightning rod. And it's the same thing energetically. It's just that when you're on this plane, you're sort of not here enough. And this can be very challenging for people sometimes where they have to know. It can be very challenging sometimes if we go up because we're more connected to source, if we go up because it's easier to be connected to source, if we go up because we don't know how to make life on this plane work, we go up. And sometimes people can get really scared about that. They think that if they come down and they know how to work life on this plane, that they're going to lose the connection to source. And is that a very real fear? Yes. Is it something that can actually happen? Yes. But it doesn't have to. And what I mean by it doesn't have to, and sometimes people get scared and they're like, nope, I'm not coming down on this plane, going right back up. The problem with that is you won't actually get as much of the lessons as you need to when you're supposed to be engaged on this plane to the degree that you're supposed to be able to be engaged in it. A lot of your daily engagements with other people will actually help to solidify your teachings. It will actually help you to expand your teachings, because even though you're being shown something, which is fabulous, it's not going to, even though, okay, so seeing something is obviously better than not seeing something. Being talked to by something healthy and being connected is obviously better than not being connected, obviously. Well, in my opinion, anyways. But it's never going to be quite as good as actually having the experience. And it's by having the experience when you go out in your daily life that it actually sort of compounds it with interest, where that's going to be the thing that gives you the most teaching. That's going to be the thing that expands the ideas. That's going to be the thing that has you adjust them so they become less of an idea into more of a knowing and more of a reality. Because if you can't make it work on this plane, then you're missing part of the information. And this is why you get some people who, you know, they say that they're really, really deep, but they're very, you know, dysfunctional or very, very hard to get along with, because they don't actually have much skill set outside of that. And then you can look at somebody outside of that and you understand that they're not as deep as maybe they think that they are. And I'm not saying that about you. Again, they're very connected. But we've all seen somebody who thinks that they're really deep and thinks that they're really connected. And you know that they kind of need to know how to make their life work better in order for them to get the results. And even if for people who have a hard time seeing that, you can still see that and understand that some of their funny business would sort of go away, excuse me, if they knew how to make things work properly. And because that's missing, and again, why do people get like that? Sometimes that's a more extreme version of, you know, I don't want to come down and make life work on this plane. And it can really mess people up, but it can also really, really, really shortcut your teachings. And because that's such a hard idea for a lot of people to go through, they can actually just completely and aptly avoid it, like, you know, avoid it like anything, avoid it like it's a tornado. And they're just going, you know, they hopped in the car and they're zooming across the country to get away from the tornado. It does not go away like a tornado, though. If your need is to be here to expand on things, and your need is to be here and to expand on things, and it is a very, very beautiful part of the teaching, provided you're willing to engage with it. Now, does that mean you have to be less connected? No. Does that mean you have to take on a bunch of things that are a bunch of nonsense? No. But it will have you learn how to, it provided you're listening, you're willing to do that. And there's also information on this plane that you need, because it's a lot easier to understand some things when somebody is just explaining them to you, like I'm doing with you right now. And sometimes those things happen to come in books. Sometimes those things happen to come in the form of teachers. And when you're putting those things out there, you'll get a deeper understanding of it because you're actually doing it. And, you know, one of my first major teacher, he would talk about that. You know, people would go up and they would, you know, have a direct experience, for example, and he'd be like trying to shake people out of it. And they're like, no, you know, like very, very resistant to coming, very resistant to coming down. And they would actually talk very, very sharply to the students. And the students would, some of them would get really upset about it, really resistant, you know, like you're being mean. And they're just trying to tear away, you know, because they want to keep in the direct connection. And my teacher was just like, no, you're coming back down because it does not, you will not get anywhere you need to enough. By being consistently in that state, unless you are actually destined to be consistently in that state for whatever reason that that is. And some people are. Some people are very much, you know, just destined to be in that state. They're here. They need people to take care of them. Some people, it's a cop-out. Some people are born that way, and they're just in it, and then they've got their own, you know, lessons to learn with doing that, whether it's inspiration, whether it's teaching, you know, whatever the reasons are for it. It's very, very beautiful. When you see people who have that, you know, that came in with that, it's absolutely beautiful. So there's all sorts of different ways that it can happen. So I'm not completely against it. But there are, for most people, there is still going to be something about learning how to do those lessons out here on this plane. And you are one of them. And it takes you really a lot higher in your vibration to learn how to do it on this plane. And again, doesn't mean that you need to start watching some dirty old cartoons meant for adults or anything else. It doesn't mean you have to go through the negatives, but the negatives also have a learning process to them. The dark side actually still has a learning process to it. And I know some people don't like that and they want to stay away from it because, no, it's dark. Now, saying that, you know, the dark is all you. And it actually does in some ways, not the way that you think, but, and I'm not saying go dark. This is far from an excuse for anybody to go dark. I really want to be clear about that. But what happens is, you know, like when the chips are down, say, you know, you're all in a bunker, and somebody's coming and knocking on your bunker and they got a bunch of guns. If you're in there with a bunch of people that refuse to fight, refuse to take a stand because they see that as dark, you're going to end up with a lot of abused people coming out of that bunker for no other reason other than simply that they just don't know how to use something or will not use something because they consider it dark. And yet, here's the funny thing. You get monks who train in warfare. You get monks who train because if you are not being responsible in that for saying no when you have to say no, for being willing to take a stand, even though some people don't like that, you can actually let darkness happen, even though you think that darkness is so-called wrong, but it's not darkness to defend. It is not darkness to fight. It depends on what you're doing the fighting for. For example, light can be used for darkness. How is light being used for darkness? I am the light and everybody who doesn't agree is a big old duty head. Ah! And then they use that as an excuse to go and be abusive on people. And they're calling themselves the light when in fact they're actually abusive or toxic. So, you know, that's not the light. That's actually darkness. And being on this plane will help to sort of get things a little bit more in touch. And it can be really mind-bendy, like completely and absolutely. And, you know, is this an excuse for people to go out and abuse and rape? No, no, no. Just to be clear, far from it. That shit's dark. But not all that everything perceives as darkness, just because they don't want to deal with it, is necessarily dark. Saying no is a good thing sometimes, even though some people consider that to be really bad. Refusing to be involved with people can be a good thing, even though, hey, nobody likes to be rejected. Why would that possibly be a good thing? Because it can actually protect a bunch of other people from somebody who's dark and rampant and out of control, panic, just wanting to lash out, expecting other people to take it. But if people are very codependent, they'll view that saying no as darkness, or they're protecting the rest of the, you know, the rest of everybody, the rest of the family unit or whatever, by saying no. If people are very codependent in that, if they don't understand it, if they think saying no or any sort of rejection is automatically dark, they're going to have a problem with that. And without that, and without that knowledge, people will actually end up bringing in more darkness, because they'll allow abuse to continue. You see this with very traumatized people. How come this abuse happened to me? Why didn't my parents put a stop to it? Possibly because, for a very real reason, of some people think that it's bad to say no to abuse. You know, and for some people that's a little bit mind-boggling, but I think we've all had the experience where you're doing something good, somebody starts pulling something on you, you say no, or you get upset about it, or you really put your foot down and you've got a code and you just discover in that moment a bunch of people are all of a sudden breaking down and crying and moaning and whining, and you're the bad person for saying no, even though the other person was the one that actually did a bunch of dark negative stuff on you. So that moment of when you're saying no, that so-called darkness, that's actually really the light. It's the being broken down and attacking for saying no, attacking for you having a healthy boundary. That stuff's actually the dark stuff. And learning those lessons and being involved in this plane are some of the processes that actually help you to get that straight. And that actually helps to fortify, you know, your lessons and what you're going to be able to achieve. And it also is one of the things that helps bring people more to the light. When people think that having boundaries is bad or wrong, excuse me, they're actually inviting more of the negative because they won't put a stop to it. And then when they don't put a stop to it, they feel bad about it. They feel like they're being attacked. And then what happens? Then they're moody. Then they take it out on other people. Then they feel victimized and they want their power back by trying to control other people. The whole nine yards just goes on and on and on and on over. And all this stuff could be in an instant pretty much handled by just simply saying no. This is what's going to be healthy. This is what I'm saying no to, and I'm going to do the healthy thing. But a lot of people have a hard time with that, and the more that they have a hard time with that, the more that they tend to suffer. So let's see, we have here, so thank you for writing in, and we have Rebecca in New York, and Rebecca wants to know her life purpose. One moment here, Rebecca in New York. So here's Rebecca, arms wide, looking at the heavens and just beaming and glowing. And let's see here. Wow. So I'm seeing this very, very large being. If we look at, hold on here, one moment. So if we look at Jesus in the paintings, you know, where it's like Jesus in the heaven and he's surrounded by that aura of light. And I'm seeing Rebecca just holding out her arms and like, there's this being of light just coming. Oh, let's see here. Okay, so Rebecca, your life purpose looks to be... Oh, okay, let's see. Your life purpose looks to be being an ambassador of goodwill for light beings. And you got to be careful, you know, of course. I'm just going to put in my little warning there. Careful what you're talking to, of course. Not because they don't look bad, but because one of my old teachers said that, you know, people think the light's going to come in and save them, but there's actually darkness surrounding the light. So being careful of what you're... Yeah, hold on. Yeah, nope, it's just you being an ambassador to the light beings. That's very cool. And I'm definitely seeing big, like, it's not Jesus. Oh, hold on. No, not Jesus. Okay. I had to check. But, yeah, just being that really light-filled, making connection, having that, bringing it down, and being on the earth plane. Hold on here. Hold on here. I'm just trying to see how much I'm allowed to tell you. Okay. And that's it. That's all I'm allowed to tell you. I'm sorry. I know things have been getting a little bit cryptic lately. It's like, I'm not allowed to tell people this. I'm not allowed to tell people that. But basically, yep, ambassador for the light. So thank you very much for calling in. I think that's absolutely fabulous. And that's the first time I've ever had that one. So cool. So we have Anthony in the UK, and he wants to know if life partner marriage is in his near future. Okay, so we're coming up to the top of the hour here. So let's see here. Yes, absolutely. Hold on here. Yes, absolutely. I definitely see that. That came in right away. Let's see here. So in about a year would be a good time to start looking. I'm seeing like the 1 to 2 year mark, and then I'm seeing that happen for you. So yes, completely and absolutely. Congratulations, Anthony. And I do see that one lasting for the rest of your life. So we'll talk about, life partner, rest of life partner, absolutely rest of life partner for sure. Completely and absolutely. Let's see here. So we're at the top of the hour then. So thank you everybody for writing in and calling in. I'm here every single week at 3 p.m. PST, New York and Chicago. It's your rush hour. I do coaching and I do the readings. Always happy to do the readings, but please, please, please come for the coaching. The first one is free, and it's a really beautiful process, the coaching, because it actually helps you to put your own mind together to your next highest levels, and it helps to break down some of the old barriers that you're having. Because a lot of these barriers are actually not big deals, and that's one of the funny things that a lot of people think, is that it's, you know, that some of the things that they're having to deal with are always going to be, you know, super hard or super embarrassing, and they're actually not. A lot of the reasons why people do things actually are a lot more benign than people think. And this is sort of one of those reasons, like, why in self-development and why in spirituality there's more of a push on compassion, is because a lot of the reasons why people do things aren't necessarily as bad as they're going to seem. Now, is this always true? No. Sometimes I address more of that on my show because the people that are coming in tend to need those issues addressed more. But I also want to be clear, that's going to be when you're dealing with people that are very problematic, that's actually going to be a smaller portion of the world. And or it's at least not going to be the full and complete portion part of the world. And this is really important because sometimes people think that all people are going to be like this. Well, there's natural communication issues. There's natural ways of being that we have that we prefer or not. There's natural understandings that we can come to that are beneficial. But that sort of thing needs to be separated from the things that actually are not going to be beneficial. And that's usually the stuff that I talked about a little bit more because I want to help the people that are really stuck or in those stuck areas where they're like, hey, this isn't working here. Why is it not working? So I tend to address those issues more when I'm on the radio. But overall, I mean, you have the capacity to make the most beautiful life that you absolutely could want. And a lot of the things that you're having things sexier, it can actually be a little bit funny when after you break through them. It's like, wow, I can't believe I was stuck up on that just because I had an interpretation of something when actually I wanted this. This was actually good for me. And if I do this, I can have the life of my dreams. So it's an absolutely beautiful process. You can go to my website. That's www.enlightenmentinthecity.com. You can find me here every single week, 3 p.m. PST at newsforthesoul.com. Again, my name is El Hoshi Amtara. I look forward to talking to you soon. Have a great day. I love you. Take care of yourself. Bye-bye.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.